Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Well, I'm going to try that again. 3-2-1. What do you say? Good morning. Good morning. Tuesday morning, New York City. It helps when you turn your mic on. Mic is on. We are ready to roll. You've got the Bobbsey twins, Kim and Jerry, in for Boomer and Gio. Now, why is that? As the TV will pan to us, we're both in red. We had the discussion last night. We said blue, no. Black, no. White, no. Red. That is the color as you come to you live from Built Ford Tough Studio on this Tuesday morning. We will get to the Yankees for sure. We will get to football for sure. But for now, and Kyrie, of course, for now, Kim Jones, good morning. How are you?
And you've already lied to the audience.
I have. Why?
We did not discuss red at all. We both just chose red.
So this was coincidence.
And you wanted to change into your sweatshirt. I think this is great.
We'll see. But one segment's good. I don't know. It looks goofy when you're wearing almost the identical shirt.
It does not look goofy. We're not the same.
Well, it's close.
I think it's fine.
Close. How you been? All right?
I've been great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm actually, I'm very good. A nice long weekend of baseball, which at some point we will get into because I had a little issue on Twitter with it over the weekend.
I look forward to that. We can, I love that stuff.
We can discuss that very warm weekend, which was awesome. Yesterday, not so much, but that was that. We will do the Yankees, of course, coming up soon. We'll talk about the Mets and their upcoming week. But I would like to start from a very interesting standpoint with the whole Kyrie situation, because I have listened and I have read and I see back pages, and it's a huge topic, and understandably so. You're talking about a superstar athlete who has been, strange. Is that a good word? Since he's been here and in other places. I'm going to sit here and take another tact, and I'm going to tell you, I love what happened yesterday, and here's why. You've got a guy who had to opt in because he had no other option. Well, he could have opted out and played for $30 million less. That has got to, in some way, shape, or form, figure out a way to actually play this year so that he can get that next and probably final contract next year. And I think you've got a guy now that's going to come out and give you the best version of himself. And I know people are probably sitting there, you idiot, you're buying that crap. I am buying that crap, because I think if you don't come out and actually be the player you're supposed to be with your best friend on the team in this spot, you never will. And then at that point, for me, lesson learned. But until then, I think this is actually the best case scenario for the team. What do you think?
Well, assuming that he's on the court playing, participating, and everything else.
That's a big assumption I'm assuming.
Right. But we'd like to think we've turned at least the COVID corner and everything else. You know, who knows? But we'd like to think that, right? And that was actually at least a large part,
very big, yes,
of the issue. So if that is now being removed, as we all, you know, will light candles hoping that that's the case and continues to be the case, then first of all, I have every confidence that Kyrie will find something else that bothers him or to complain about or to act out, on. But as a basketball player, he's really good. And if he's still going to be with Kevin Durant, they are really good. The intriguing thing to me, Jerry, was he's opted in. That does not guarantee he's going to be a Net.
It just seems
like no one else is necessarily clamoring for his services at this point.
No one but the Lakers, and the Lakers don't have anything the Nets want. So if that's the case, then again, that's according to stories. Who knows what's true and what's not true? But assuming that reporting is factual and no one else is really willing to give anything up for him, and no one's willing to pay anything other than that $6.5 million he could have gotten, then you're looking at a guy that's got to really, he really has to reshape his image. And I think he's got to be the guy that they anticipated him being. You know, before, and I know you can talk about the bubble season and what happened, but before all that, he was playing really well for the Nets, and he was on his best behavior, and things were good. The bubble situation happened fine, whatever. The pandemic year, I will never, ever, ever, ever fault a guy for not taking the vaccine, or anybody else for that matter. I don't care what you put into your body. I don't care what you don't want to put into your body. That's on you, and I will never question that. But it's the other crap that's gone on. This situation is interesting because I listened to Kevin Durant on his podcast from Friday, and this goes to another, and this is more of a journalistic question, I guess, and another type of conversation. A lot of the conversation in the beginning of the podcast was about the draft, and then they got into the Kyrie thing. And also, Durant's image, for the most part, and how it's characterized. And it's fascinating to me listening to him. First of all, reading about him, and you think you have this perception of him, and then you listen to the guy talk. And he seems like a completely different person. And I almost wonder what goes on between the two of them that makes them, A, want to be here, and B, think they can win here, and then C, deal with all the outside noise, block it out, and play. And I don't know what's real and what's not anymore in terms of the way the game is covered, the way the athletes are covered, and what they actually believe and don't believe. I know that was convoluted where the way I just went there. But there's a lot of misinformation and a lot of opinion-based reporting. And I don't know if that's just the new media and world we're in, or what's real and what's not real.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think that is the world we're in now. We've blurred lines between reporting and analysis, and
yes.
You know, it used to be a columnist, or you were a beat writer, and I've been both. And now those lines are blurred, obviously. So that part, I'm with you on. I'm not sure Kyrie has it in him to kind of fall in line, and I don't say that with any negative thoughts. I mean, but like every other NBA player does, and like every other most other professional athletes do. I don't know that he has that in him. I think he does see himself as, you know, unique and as someone who needs to lead in his own way. And there's not anything wrong with that except when it hurts the team, in my opinion.
And it has.
Yeah, and it has. Absolutely, it has. I don't expect that to change. I don't know why that would change. I don't know why at this point Kyrie would say, you know, now I've opted in, now I'm going to be... you know, what the team I think ideally would want him to be. I don't know how that would happen.
The only reason I think it would happen, and this goes across any sport at this point, and contracts, and that's it, the money. Because if he turns this organization upside down again this year, mm-hmm. and it's certainly possible, I am not saying it's not, if he turns them upside down again this year and disappears again for 3 weeks for some unexcused absence because he's and I'm not saying this and trying to be funny, because he feels like he's got to try and save the world. And I do think there's a part of him that thinks he's doing for the greater good. Who is going to pay him what he thinks he's worth? Nobody. I think he found out the hard way. Again, if the reports are true that he went to the Nets, or his representative, whoever that might be, went to the Nets and said, we would like permission to seek a trade. And they made a few phone calls and realized very quickly, not many teams are interested. And if his reps all of a sudden started kind of poking around to see who might be interested to sign him if he walked away, and they found out, you know what, not many teams are interested. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you can do anything other than, unless you're done playing. And that's another, he's made a lot of money. Unless he's done playing and he wants to go do things for society, which could be the case too. I think with so much money that's out there and what he can get next year, I think he has to give you the best version of himself. Just forget basketball, just as a contractual situation. If you're not going to do that in this situation, you're never going to.
Yeah, I don't have much hope in that. I mean, I really don't.
You might be right.
To me, the most intriguing person in all of this is the one who's been absolutely, as far as we can tell, and as far as NBA sources and insiders are telling us, is Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, to me, is the most interesting person in all of this, because if he has his guys back, his guy, of course, being Kyrie, he's been silent about it.
Yes.
And if he's ticked off at, hypothetically, Kyrie, perhaps the Nets, at anyone, or at no one, we don't know. because he said nothing. I don't know that I've seen anything from Kevin Durant, you know, over these past couple months. It feels like a couple months. I think it's been a couple months. Other than maybe a tweet sent back at someone maybe who was critical or something along those lines. But in terms of, right, because like he can't help himself on that level, which I think some of us can relate to at
times.
He
loves it.
But some of us have also fired back and then you send that tweet and you're like, yeah, I should have just let that person go. But anyway, but I think with Durant, he's the most interesting person in all of this to me.
Well,
because he's the longer term net, you know, as long as that
contract's
does
done,
indeed,
yep.
Play out and everything else. He's the better player because he's a fantastic player. One, you know, the very short list in the league of best players. And because he said absolutely nothing about all of this, as we think his buddy Kyrie has thought about leaving or demanding a trade or something along those lines. Now, you have to have willing partners for that stuff. And as you noted, there really aren't any.
Doesn't seem to be. And then I come back to the podcast from Friday where his basic premise is, and I put the clips in for CeeLo to play them at some point today. His basic premise is this is his deal. That's not my job. I'm not going to bother him. I understand what's going on in his life, and that's fine. He doesn't.
Who's the he you're talking about now?
Kyrie.
Okay.
Talking about Irving.
Who is he not going to bother?
He was not going to bother Kyrie about his own contract and situation. He's got to figure it out for himself.
Okay.
And that's the thing that puzzles me. Everything that I've read for the last, it's got to be all weekend, essentially, when all this really started to break. And some of the things you start to read is, you know, Durant is monitoring, you know, sources.
Right,
and I
monitoring.
Know reporters have to do this, and I get it. But again, this is not 10 years ago. It's a different media now, and I don't know who to trust and who not to trust. But I see sources close to Durant say he's monitoring the situation. Mm-hmm. People with knowledge of Durant's thinking say he could ask for a trade if the Kyrie situation doesn't work itself out. And then I listen to him. It never sounds like that. It sounds like a guy who likes being here, likes the team he's on. We'll see what happens. And then he's like, let's talk hoops. Let's talk basketball. He doesn't sound at all like a guy who's upset with the organization, upset with Kyrie. It sounds like a guy who likes his situation, wishes it were a little bit better, but he doesn't seem angry. He doesn't seem agitated. I don't know. And like, it's, as you say, it's the only time he talks. He never speaks, except for Twitter, which is mostly yelling at people or barking back at people. I just don't think the notion that was out there that if Kyrie forced his way out, that Durant was all of a sudden going to say, all right, get me out next.
I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that. And people were suggesting that.
Yes.
I wasn't as certain. And by the way, when they say there's been no contact at all between Durant and the Nets, I find a little bit of that hard to believe.
I do too.
Now, did Durant maybe want to stay out of it? Perhaps, and it's not fair for me, you know, to suggest he's doing things that I truly don't know that he is or isn't. But the idea that there's been no contact since the season ended with Kevin Durant and the Nets, I do find hard to believe. I also think in this case, again, because it's not Twitter and it's not his own feelings, Kevin Durant's going to have to be the adult here.
And I
think
he is.
Especially on the court. I think he is too, and he's fabulous. And he's fabulous. But the idea that Kyrie last season wore on everyone in that organization is also something that if someone said that to me with absolute certainty, I'd nod my head and say, yeah, of course he did. Did you watch the season? Did you hear the give and take? Did you monitor when he played, when he didn't? Of course it wore on everyone.
We saw it in front of
us.
We
saw it, exactly.
We saw it. And that's another good point you make, too, about Durant and the way he has played. And I know there's someone around here that says the Nets like to pay people for not playing. I get that. And Durant certainly got paid to not play that first year.
Yep.
But since he's been healthy, and aside from a little injury here where he missed a few weeks, maybe a month, whatever it was, all he's done is played. And all he's done has played really, really well at a very high level. And I don't know how you could be critical of him. And then one more to your point about talking to the organization or not listening to him. He's all over the place. He's in California. He's here. He's there. One thing is very clear. He's working out every single day because, as he said, If I miss more than one day, if I ever miss 2 days in a row, someone else out there is working harder than me, and that's not acceptable. I love that one.
I'm, yeah, I'm I love sure that a lot too. I need that. To adopt that.
That was actually really cool.
I need to put that in my life.
We all should.
Speak that into existence.
He said that, and he loves basketball. He just does. Yeah. Like, you know, they were talking about the NBA Finals, and they're discussing. He didn't miss a second of it. He doesn't. He actually made the point, which I thought was great. He's like, I sit down, and I forget which game specifically he was talking about. He's watching the one of the finals game between the Celtics and the Warriors. He goes, I sit down, I get in the chair, I put the coverage on about 10 minutes before tip-off. They're talking about me. Why? He goes, can't I just watch a basketball game?
He said that on
yes.
the podcast.
And I don't know if it was Barkley. I don't know who they were talking about, who he was talking about specifically. But they were having the conversation about the Warriors with him or without him.
Yeah.
Could they have won?
Right.
He's like, I did play really well for them. Can you just leave it alone and move on? Like, we don't need to rehash this. So he loves it. He loves everything about it. And I don't know. I took this news last night, probably the way Evan did. I thought it was really positive because I think the Nets will get whatever the best version of Kyrie Irving is at this point. And if they don't, I don't know that Kyrie.
I think you're giving Kyrie, though, maybe more of a sense of self-awareness than
maybe.
He actually has.
Maybe.
You know, and, you know, when you are Kyrie Irving and you've had the career you've had, you impact games the way he does, and you've been essentially, you know, the word allowed isn't exactly what I'm looking for, but when you have, you know, shirked your responsibilities to your team and teammates, and it's all been okay, you know, whether teams like it or not, you know, whether the Nets liked it or not, it was all okay when he came back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not aware of anything behind the scenes where they said, Kyrie, this isn't okay. He has very much been his own pilot on this plane.
Right.
So they've empowered him at that level for Kyrie now to take a step back again and have to find some self-awareness. I actually think that's asking too much of someone who almost certainly cannot do that.
I agree with that, but I would counter that with saying this. Isn't there some sort of responsibility to your best friend?
Well, of course. I mean,
there's responsibility
to your employer who's paying you a gazillion dollars. There's responsibility to your other teammates.
Maybe.
There is responsibility to be available to your team. I mean, there's all kinds of responsibility.
Yes, except
here.
I think those guys can basically argue that away. I think when you're looking at your best friend.
Well, he hurt Durant, though, with his actions last year, too.
But again,
Durant wasn't on some island.
But the vax, I'm never going to get into that conversation because I have people in my life that refuse to take it.
I'm not talking about just the vaccine.
Well, but that was a big part of last year, though.
But there was the birthday party before that he had to take time off of. I mean, he is very much marched to the beat of his own drum.
He does.
Kevin Durant there as a teammate or not?
I guess I'm asking too much.
I think you're asking someone.
I'm expecting more this year. And you're probably right. I'll be left the fool. I'm sure
And listen, he's a fantastic player. When he's playing basketball, he's a fantastic player.
When he's playing basketball.
I just don't know that he has that responsibility. There are players that I've covered. There are players I know. There are players I watch who I don't know, who clearly feel the responsibility to be there for their team.
Right.
Night in and night out, whatever game they're playing. Kyrie does not have that.
Does not appear to. At least he hasn't. So
his actions have shown he has not had that.
And I'm hoping for more this year, and I will probably be the idiot at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Great to have you with us Tuesday morning. Kim and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I believe the guys are back tomorrow. So I think Al said, what, massages they went for? What were they doing?
Yeah, massaging each other, that sort of thing.
They're rubbing down
each other.
Wow.
Oh.
They've gotten very close, these two.
Really?
They golf now together.
Geo golf? Well, is Geo a golfer?
No, but he's trying.
Okay.
He's just started. But what was funny was, he made the decision that he wanted to start golfing.
Okay.
So Boomer got him a set of lessons to get him going, took him out and played
with
G.
Father, son.
So then we had our Memorial Day, we had our Memorial Day weekend show on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And what did we have that Wednesday night? Didn't we have something the Wednesday night before?
The bartending, right?
That's right. We did bartending at the Ugly Duckling on Wednesday night.
Okay.
And so we all stayed in the city Wednesday night. And since Gio lives, you know, in Alaska, basically, he decided he wasn't going to go home on Thursday because we had the show Friday morning in Jersey. So he comes down to Jersey. We're going to play some golf. Asked Boomer, you want to play? Boomer, no. Wait, no, you don't want to play. It was why I am playing, but not with you. You stink.
Oh.
So he came with me and we played. And
okay.
He did quite well.
How'd that go?
It went well. And so he's getting better. He's taking his lessons. And my guess is maybe they're golfing today after they rub each other down.
I think they're...
Wow.
What?
It's all good.
Okay. He doesn't want to talk. 6:26. Hopefully he talks now.
I didn't want to break up your narrative, but they admitted on the air yesterday they're in separate places.
Oh, they are?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Boomer's in New
Coincidentally, they're in separate places
yes.
today. Oh, okay.
Boomer's in New Hampshire for a charity golf event.
Okay.
Geo is hosting. Do you remember what it is, Al? I think that was last night, right?
Because he took
off
today.
Yeah, but my point is Gio wasn't going to New Hampshire
Correct.
Today. To play
so they're not golfing today. So what Al said during the warm-up show is false.
Yeah,
no massages.
We were just, right.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm glad you believed him, though. That's good.
I did.
Trust
never rubbed the guy a wrong way.
To each his own. All right, Chris, take it away.
Al's broken up, by the way, about getting that information wrong.
Yeah,
so he's
sorry.
Not going to be able to go on with today.
All right, powered by Superbook, now open with better odds and favorable prices. Also brought to you by Winters Bros. For help with your next cleanup or construction project, visit wintersbros.com. Let's do a little Kyrie and the Nets first as he surveyed the situation and the sign-and-trade landscape. Must have not liked what he saw, so he settles, and I put settles in quotes, for the $36.5 million player option with the Nets. So for now, he's returning to Brooklyn to run it back with Durant and presumably Ben Simmons. Before all this went down, though, take a listen to Kyrie from Sunday on the red carpet at the BET Awards, chatting with Complex News' Pierce Simpson.
Kyrie, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask this question. So, you know, I'll go ahead. Do you want to be a Brooklyn Nets still?
pass it to my left.
Lead the league.
Wow. So seems a little undecided.
Well, now
then.
I want to redo the whole open to the show.
I told undecided. You, Jer.
He's a strange
24
guy,
hours he later, he makes his decision. And Complex Sports, I guess, put that exchange on Instagram. And Kyrie replied in the comments section. And he wrote, quote, "When I smile like that, it means there's more to the story. I'll have my time to address it."
See? Jerry, he's
a strange
who
guy.
He is.
I know.
The idea that there's going to be like some change or some, you know,
I'm holding out hope.
Real feeling of self-awareness from Kyrie is just not going to happen.
Yeah.
He is who he is, and he happens to be obviously a beautiful basketball player. I mean, he plays a beautiful game of basketball.
Why couldn't you have played that for me before I started?
I'm sorry, man. That's you know right. how it goes.
I'm kidding.
Now, again, but who knows? With him, he might say, well, yeah, there is more to the story. The story is that the next day I'm opting into my player option. So you can spin it that way.
You can spin it any way you want.
Did you guys already cover the quote he gave to The Athletic when this was announced?
You know what? I'll let you read it. I heard it. I saw it.
Normal people.
This is the start of the quote?
Yes. Normal people keep the world going, but those who dare to be different lead us into tomorrow. I've made my decision to opt in. See you in the fall.
And hold on.
A11 even, which I guess is his sneaker, we thought maybe. I'm not sure.
That's what I've been doing wrong. I've been having tomorrows without being led there by Kyrie.
Yeah.
What the heck am I doing?
Get behind him. He'll lead you down the path.
Maybe he'll drop a couple mil on the way.
Oh my God.
He's got plenty of it.
He does.
Here was Durant. Jerry talked quite a bit about his podcast, ETC Podcast, on Friday. His comments made some waves over the weekend because he really distanced himself from all of this. There were also reports that he's not spoken to Sean Marks or Nets management so far this offseason as the whole Kyrie situation played itself out.
Keep the regular contact up with Kyrie. See what happens, man. I'm just something that's so much out of my control that I don't want to be a part of it. You know what I mean?
So in this day and age where star players are so heavily involved, and you remember Kyrie at the end of the season, Kevin and I are going to work together with management and so on and so forth. And you had Kyrie thinking about leaving and Durant basically taking a back seat waiting for the outcome. So kind of the opposite of what it sounded like was going to play out at the end of the year.
I'll tell you from listening. So I watched Durant with David Letterman in that piece, whatever that show's called.
Netflix show,
My Next Guest Needs No Introduction is the name of it. From watching
How was that?
Great.
Really? You would recommend it?
I would recommend it. And I'll tell you this, from listening to these podcasts and watching Durant whenever I get a chance to, I love the guy. I really do.
He
seems so opposite of the way he gets portrayed. I mean, there are people out there that write that he's running the Nets franchise, and yet I listen to him, and he sounds like he just wants to be one of 12.
He wants to play basketball.
He knows he's the best guy on the team.
Yes.
And yet, he's good just being one of the guys. Mm-hmm. I don't buy it all, but what do I know?
I'm not as 100% sure that I buy that there's been, like, no contact with Durant and the Nets.
I agree with
what
you.
What I can believe is Durant has said, leave me out of it type of thing. I don't need, drama in an off-season type of thing.
I also think when you've got a guy like him who appears to be one of the better guys you're going to come across, if I am Sean Marks, I'm calling him for his opinion. Because you're the most important guy here. You know, if I'm Sean Marks and I can get player X or player Z, why would I not call him to say, which would you prefer? Right. Which do you think works better with you?
That's why the no contact between him and
I agree with you.
The Nets seems a little bit
far-fetched.
Hard to believe. Yeah.
One other NBA nugget, John Wall, after agreeing
this is hilarious.
Buyout with the Rockets, is signing with the Clippers. So he was due $47.5 million.
But here's the thing,
Rockets.
Though. They bought him out, though.
Yeah, right.
So he didn't get all his money.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They bought him out, and then
did you see what the buyout was?
I did not. What was the buyout?
You're missing the best part of the story. He was good enough to accept as a buyout only $41.2 million.
Oh, come on.
And now he's going to sign for six, so he's still going to get his full $47
million. Okay. See, I
they
saw
still have to pay him $41 million to go away.
Yeah, I saw the 6.5 with the Clippers. I didn't know that.
This was the headline.
Houston picked up the difference.
In case you didn't get to it, I wrote this down as one of these miscellaneous things to get Kim's reaction to. This was the headline. John Wall joining Clippers after sacrificing $6.5 million in buyout.
That was the headline?
Oh, my God.
Which
yeah.
the Clippers, which is what he's going to sign
which is
for
what he's
roughly...
Get.
And that was what they were talking about with Kyrie. If he really wanted to leave and they weren't going to do the sign and trade, the taxpayer mid-level exception. Six. So basically, Kyrie could have taken a $30 million pay cut
correct.
To go elsewhere.
Yes.
I mean, listen,
God bless
Kim
them.
Understands you teach yourself how the NFL cap works when you're
yeah,
covering.
The NBA cap is not like that,
oh,
though.
Oh, my God.
The
it's
NBA
so hard.
Cap with the exceptions. I've talked yeah. to people who cover the NBA who will say to me, yeah, it's really convoluted.
Yes,
I'm thinking
same.
To myself, well, then
yeah.
I have no shot at understanding all of that stuff.
Bird rights. Yes. It's
right.
just very hard to follow. All right, let's get to the Yankees. They're not hard to follow right now, though this did seem like a night where it just wasn't going to happen off the emotions of the four-game series with the Astros. You get a bad A's team coming to town, and they rough up Jordan Montgomery for 5 runs in the third. But he hangs in there to give them 6 2/3, and then in the seventh, the Yanks end up batting around and hanging a 6 spot on Oakland.
Now here's the 0-2 to Donaldson. Lineberg, base hit, left field, down the line, going to draw the wall. 2 runs have scored, second and third, 2 out. A 2-run base hit by Donaldson has given the Yankees a 6-5 lead.
John Sterling here on The Fan put the Yanks ahead for good. Jose Trevino added a 2-run double, and he was slumping, and all of a sudden, bang, ball to the fence, another 2 runs, and the Yanks went on to beat the A's 9-5. Now, of course, we have to acknowledge a major assist to Oakland, and they
the
really
catcher.
Do stink. Right, exactly. Here's how the seventh inning went before all the runs came across. He had the line out from Gallo, who did just
who
miss
almost
a home
homered.
Run. Yes, right down
I
the line.
I actually feel bad for the guy.
Yeah, it's. I mean, listen, he's not
because
good.
He almost homers, and yeah. then it's a line drive where yes. someone should not be.
Well, he hates the shift.
I
went right into the shift. He's like muttering to himself.
I know.
No, I'm with
he
you.
He didn't strike out, and yet he still can't buy it. It was 0-25 or something.
22 or 23.
Oh, my Lord.
Like 11 strikeouts. It's not gone well. So line out, walk, catcher's interference, hit by pitch. Catcher's interference leading into the Donaldson at bat. So an inning to forget for Sean Murphy.
And the catcher's interference, too, with Stanton, they had to do replay
right.
because the umpire didn't even notice.
And on the one catcher's interference, the catcher got dunked on the helmet
on the
by the
swing.
Ricocheted ball. So
oh,
he had
ball,
catcher's
right.
interference and
tough
hit
night.
In the head.
Tough night.
Yeah.
Very tough night.
Bad scene for the A's.
And I believe that's 23 comeback wins
it is.
For a Yankees team that is pretty remarkable in that capacity.
They lead baseball
yeah,
in that
no,
category, and they're the only team
yeah.
above 500 in that category, 23-20.
It's amazing.
Here was Aaron Boone at least acknowledging they got some help as part of that rally.
I don't know if catcher's interference is resourceful or more just fortunate.
Probably fortunate, but it did open the door, and they then stormed through.
That sets us up now all of a sudden. Here we go, and we got the big boys coming up now, and the table's set.
And Anthony Rizzo, who homered earlier in the game in the first inning, got hit on the elbow in that inning. He stayed in initially, but later left to get some ice on it. Certainly didn't feel good at the time.
Yeah, I mean, it went kind of, the whole arm just went dead there for a second. But I think when we just took the four-run lead there, just being smart.
Thinks he'll be okay for tonight's game.
Who was that, CeeLo?
Rizzo.
Sorry.
He got
that was Rizzo.
off the elbow. And you wondered if it was like a funny bone sip. He took it flat right there.
Oh, there
on
we
the
go.
Elbow.
CBS.
Yes.
They're amazing.
Mm-hmm. And it stung him. They were laughing, though. He went down the line. Again, he stayed in initially, but then once they took the lead and they went up by 4, they got him out of there to get some ice on and try to keep the swelling down. So we'll see about tonight. He and Giancarlo Stanton homered in this one before the comeback. Yanks, as we mentioned, 23-20 in games where they have trailed this season, best mark in baseball. And this series will continue with the A's tonight, 6:25 pregame on The Fan. And the Yanks right now say, we're as good as we are. We're in the middle of this stretch. We're going to give our starting pitchers an extra day. So we'll bring up J.P. Sears from AAA.
Sure. Why
give
not?
Him a spot start. He's
only playing a AAA team. Why not do it?
And that's right.
To like
that's a great point.
A 1.8 ERA at AAA. He's got 7 innings for the Yankees this year. Hasn't allowed a run. And my favorite part of last night's game, Albert Abreu after Montgomery, they just let him go. And he eats up the last 7 outs. So a guy that they traded as to get Trevino, and the Rangers had no use for him. And the Royals had no use for him. Two bad teams. Yeah, bring him back. And now he's going to, I understand it's not a high leverage situation, but he eats up some innings.
Yes. It helps.
And he gets throws strikes.
Yeah, absolutely.
No runs, and away you go. Injury-wise, beyond Rizzo, Gleyber Torres out of the lineup. He's got, we thought about it was the ankle when he hit the deck on Sunday when his spike caught and he rolled the ankle. He's actually got a wrist problem now and had a cortisone shot, so he's not going to swing a bat for a couple of days. And IKF was out of the lineup last night as well. Did you see he laid down a bunt with two strikes in that?
I did.
Yes, that was a big play.
Yeah.
That was a big play Sunday.
So he moved the runner over. Obviously, Judge ends up hitting the home run. But with two strikes, he got the bunt down, and the ball actually hit his finger on the bunt. So he had to go for x-rays, which were negative, but he was a little banged up. So he was out of the lineup. Aroldis Chapman has another rehab outing tonight, I believe, for Scranton. So you might see him activated this week. And Jonathan Loaisiga getting closer as well. So the Yankees are going to get some of these bullpen arms back. The Mets were off, so were the Astros. They will meet for the first of two tonight at Citi Field. Carlos Carrasco and Luis Garcia are the starters at 7:10. The Angels, Mariners suspensions. 12 guys out of that brawl from Sunday.
I saw
Sunday.
Nevin got 10.
Exactly.
He led the way, which kind of tells you what the league thought about. Now, we didn't talk about this yesterday. I didn't realize, so Trout had gotten buzzed Saturday.
Right.
And the move Nevin pulled was a late change, and they went to the opener.
Yep.
And then the opener came in.
And he was the sacrificial lamb who was going to get thrown out.
Exactly.
But he had a job to do, absolutely.
So that's what angered the Mariners, specifically Jesse Winker.
Well, in MLB.
Yes.
Because a 10-game suspension for a manager is significant.
Which he can't appeal his managers and coaches.
And not for nothing. I don't know if Winker expected it or not. And I'm not saying I don't want to get into the conversation of it's okay to hit a guy or it's not. I understand. But if you're going to do it, he did it exactly where you wanted to do.
The problem was they had thrown at Rodriguez before that.
I'll tell you what. Watching the coverage of that brawl, and I'd seen it before, but watching it back again now, the league is really lucky that the Mets mostly are a team of adults.
Right.
And I say mostly just because I don't know every single person. I'm sure there's a guy that lightens the mood, and as they should, and everything else. But the Mets have had opportunities.
Yeah.
Not the same situation. It wasn't choreographed by a manager that easily to detect that it was choreographed by the manager with the Angels situation. But, you know, the Mets have taken it time after time after time. And Buck stares.
Yeah.
And
the death stare.
Death stare, which I love seeing.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, that's a credit to how the Mets have handled stuff. Now, the Mets are also a really good team who I think believes it can do great things this season, and they probably don't want to mess it up for that, you know, in that respect as well. But think about that with what the Mets have dealt with.
Right.
A lot this season.
Like you said, bunch
more than anyone else.
Bunch of professionals.
Yeah.
Couple of notables on the suspension list, and then I'll get out of here. Anthony Rendon, who's out for the year with wrist surgery, got five games, and he's banned from being on the bench for seven. And this is the best. This is the best. Angels interpreter Manny Del Campo got two games.
That's a problem.
So I guess they'll have to get someone in temporarily for a couple of games.
That's for Ohtani, right? Is that for Ohtani?
I guess. I don't know if they have multiple. Like, I don't know if this guy does Spanish and someone else does Japanese. I don't know the answer to that. But he's on the Angels staff, and he's going to miss the next couple of games as a result of all this. So there you go.
All right, Chris. Thanks very much. 877-337-6666. We will get to some of your calls throughout the course of the morning. Coming up next, we'll do the Yankees at 7. We'll give them a nice full segment there. A little walk down memory lane, sort of. With Kim. We do that next
on
the Fan.
That scares me.
No, it's not what you think, actually. Although it could be. I don't know.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List, you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Little past quarter to 7. It is Kim and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. The guys will be back tomorrow. Calls coming up in a little bit, 877-337-6666. We will talk about the Yankees right at the top of the hour, give them their due. Shorter segment. So I just thought of this real quick. So I talk about a walk down memory lane. See that, Eddie? I actually teased something. I'm going to get to it here. And you guys can chime in on this too, because I heard... So I guess Wimbledon is starting.
Yes.
Mic on. Wimbledon's starting, and so you've got Serena Williams.
Yes, Wimbledon's starting. Thank you.
It's amazing how often we all do it. So she hasn't played singles in a long time, but she's going to come back
Serena.
And play here. Yes.
Yep.
And I heard them talking about the fact that end of the career, she's now 40.
Right.
And this would be a great way for her to go out if, in fact, she wins or whatever. It doesn't matter, but... It crossed my mind at that point as I'm driving in. You start to feel old because when I think of Serena and Venus, I still think about those 21-year-olds just
dominating
forces.
Yep.
Serena, to me, and some people can say Tiger Woods, older folks that still call the radio station might say Babe Ruth. Serena is still, to me, the most dominant athlete I have ever seen on any level. That includes Jordan.
That's fair.
Yeah, Tiger, I just think she is...
It
is different.
It's a lot different than those sports, but in terms of dominating her workplace, if you will...
I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
Ever.
And her sister
was
as
like
well.
That too for a while.
Yeah.
Until her sister
took
over.
I mean, the idea that Venus has now been completely overshadowed, and it seems like, you know, in careers, says an awful lot about Serena.
Because
Not nearly as much about Venus, because Venus also had a Hall of Fame kind of...
Yes.
Career of her own.
Sure did.
Absolutely.
But it made me think this. Serena's 40, about to retire soon, you would think. And then I started thinking about, my God, you start to feel older. And I don't mean to be depressing by any stretch. That's not where I'm going here. But you start to reminisce about
life. Starting
to
get depressed, to be honest.
No. I'm curious if there's someone that started and finished that made you think, damn, like that went like in a blink, the career.
Eli Manning. I mean, Eli Manning's now, you know, great.
He's a man. He's 40, right, Al?
He's 40. Yeah. I love that, Al. He's fantastic, you know, as in this second career that he has found, you know, along with his brother. I mean, that stuff they do on ESPN, I think is highly entertaining. The way they, you know, chop it up and have guests and everything else they've done. But Eli Manning, for sure, because I remember... Covering Eli Manning, I remember way back. I can't remember if it was their rookie year or the next year, but I remember the Steelers and Giants were going to play. The Steelers let me in to their the room where Ben was getting treatment.
Mm-hmm.
It was like an upper leg. Injury of some sort. And as long as I did not say that he was being treated for that injury, they let me interview Ben Roethlisberger in the training room.
Wow.
Way back then. That would never happen now. Never happen now. And I wrote about it, of course, back then, not of course, but for the Star Ledger, and wrote about it, you know, leading up to that game. I think back to stuff like that that would just never happen. Ben's obviously retired. Eli's longer retired.
Rivers,
so we
gone.
Throw Rivers into that, yes, for obvious reasons.
It's
amazing the way these careers go, and they're gone, and these athletes who truly will live forever, especially for their fan bases, but who are now gone from the day to day. That part's amazing because it's happened while I've been very clearly an adult,
yep,
growing up much older than these guys.
I know for me, I mean, there's a lot of them you can point to. I wrote down a few, like Aikman for me, obviously, mm-hmm, but the one mostly that I don't know why when he was retiring, I'm like, how come? Was Jeter. And I'm not even a Yankee fan, mm-hmm, but I found it fascinating watching him when he came, because I was so into baseball. So I went through a little phase there when I got engaged to Kim, my wife, and then I wasn't watching as much, and then I jumped back in, and at that point I was watching so much baseball, and it would be, I mean, hell, I actually had on satellite, I had the baseball package so I could watch Dodger games, yep, at night, and I liked the Giants and stuff like that. But I watched a lot of Mets and Yankees, and I remember Jeter coming up, David Wright coming up,
mm-hmm,
Wright made sense because of the injury. It wasn't like, man, he's retiring.
Right.
That was, all right, you know what? His back couldn't take
his
it.
Back,
I got it.
Right.
Fine. The Jeter one, and even though he played for 40 years, and I know that, it was like, wow, like he's not going to be there anymore. And that one was just weird.
Yeah, tell me about it. I mean, the Yankees went,
yes,
through that for a little bit. Yeah.
Just strange. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It makes you feel like, wow, time just really passed by in a blink. And even something as simple as Judge, who I still look at as a young kid in the beginning of his career,
mm-hmm,
but he's on the north side of 30.
Yeah.
How much longer, with that body and that frame, what do you got, 5-6 dominant years left? I mean, I'm talking about 15-year careers going,
right,
by in a blink.
Right.
You're talking about something that's going to, I don't know.
The clock's, not that you don't know this, when the clock starts so much later in baseball,
sure, yeah,
it does skew, because we're so used to seeing 20 and 21 and 22-year-old,
yes,
guys make their debuts in the NFL and their careers.
And the NBA. Yeah,
yeah, and the NBA,
yeah,
of course. Yep.
I mean, Judge, if you asked me just quickly, you know, how old is Judge? My first thought immediately would be, man, 26.
Right.
But he's not. Not even close.
Yeah.
It's just,
and that's going to be part of the narrative as this season,
know,
not
I
only
know,
goes along, but ends.
100%.
And they talk about paying Aaron Judge.
Without thinking about it too much. And you can't say Kent Colvey. Anybody for you?
For me, it's Peyton Manning, because I felt like that Peyton Manning or Ryan Leaf thing was just a few years ago. Like, who are you going to pick? Peyton? And then that guy's long retired.
Long gone now.
Yeah, he was old when he was playing at the end.
Yeah.
That just seemed,
and the neck injury
quick,
was sad.
Yeah.
I mean, he wins the Super Bowl. He couldn't even throw the ball. And yet he was still so much sharper,
right,
than everybody else. Eddie, go. What dolphin?
A dolphin.
I'm going to say, really,
Marino,
believe it or not. Because I was a longtime fan before he got there.
And then here he comes and goes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't mean to be depressing. It's just, when I heard that this morning, I'm like, damn.
Yeah,
like,
no,
Serena,
I got you.
Serena Williams is about done.
Right.
And I know you can make that case. And I guess this is where injury comes into play, too. Like, you can say Tiger Woods as well. Like,
sure,
clearly his best days are behind him. And I guess we'll still see him. We will. We'll see him in events here,
yes,
and there.
And he will be as celebrated,
yes,
as
will,
he ever has been every single time from here on out,
yeah,
that he plays a PGA Tour event. It will be amazing.
Well, you're gonna,
because he's now an absolute hero.
He's
not only for what he's gone through, but what he did with the LIV,
yes,
and the stand that he took. He
all
will be
that,
as celebrated as ever from now through the rest of his public appearance lifetime.
And you also got whatever event he does show up and play, they are,
sure,
going to be quite grateful and thankful that he's there.
100%.
Because it sells tickets,
yes,
and there's more eyeballs. So one thing about golf right now, the product is tremendous. The players are better than they've ever been. But it's not sexy right now. It's just not.
You know who I like, a young player? Sagala. I discovered him at the Waste Management. I was home with my parents. My dad golfs and has always golfed, and we were watching golf. And he has like a charisma about him and everything. And I was like, who is this guy? And then he was in contention over the weekend.
Okay.
Had a respectable finish for sure, but didn't win it. But Thigala is one really young guy that I think
Not familiar with him.
I think he's going to be a fan favorite.
All right, well, we'll see. You never know. Got to find them.
Get back to me in 10 years.
Yeah, well.
Get back to me in 10 years.
You know what? With the way we're going in media right now, how about in 6 months?
Yeah, that's true, too.
Because we seem to be
accelerating everything. 6 months and then again in 10 years to make sure I'm really right.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.